Welcome to the Catch the Fire Church podcast. We're so glad you're joining us, and we hope you're encouraged by this message.
Well, I'm really excited today to be continuing our sermon series, We Will Go. And the title of my message is We Will Go. Who's excited? You guys have full permission today to be loud and rowdy as you have been all day. You can give an amen. You can shout a hallelujah. It's so funny. I love just going on Facebook, like after a church service, and I'll see so many people I know that are here that are like, I wanted to run in church. I wanted to jump up and down. And they're like, sheesh. So if you feel the Holy Spirit, feel permission this morning. But we're going to be talking about the Great Commission today. And this is a mandate given by Jesus to his disciples and also to us. We are Christ followers. We are disciples of Jesus. And this is a mandate also for us this morning. As I was preparing, I was thinking, wow, this feels like such an obvious topic. Like, how do I even talk to people about the Great Commission who are like, I've heard this. But as I started studying deeper, I realized that it's actually not as well known as I might have thought. Barna did a study. They do a lot of surveys and studies on things surrounding the gospel and missions. And they did a study on several thousand people here in the U.S. And it said, they asked, okay, here we go. They asked these people if they had previously heard of the Great Commission. And half of those U.S. churchgoers, only 51% said that they knew this term. Only 17% of the other half who did not know the term were also not familiar by the passage and didn't know the passage by name. Meanwhile, the Great Commission does ring a bell for 1 in 4, 25%, though they can't remember what it is. 6% of churchgoers are simply not sure whether they have heard this term, the Great Commission, before. This was pretty staggering for me that only 51% of people knew what this actually was and could say it by name, locate it in passage, and be able to articulate what it is and what it means. This is no shade or shame for anyone here in the seat who is thinking, I don't know what that is, because you are in the right place today. And if I do my job right today, by the end of it, you will be part of the 50% that know what it is. Amen? So let's turn together. We're going to read out of Matthew 28, verse 18. This is Jesus. He's speaking to his disciples. He's about to ascend into heaven. And this is the last passage in Matthew where he's about to leave this earth and go and be with his Father. And this is what he says to his disciples. He says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So good. So where does Jesus's authority come from? Who is he to say all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me? Jesus's authority comes from his Father. He is proclaiming here that the authority that he has, that has been given to him to command us to do this, has been given to him by God the Father. And we, because Jesus has triumphed over death, because he resurrected, he carries the ultimate authority here on this earth. And he has commissioned us with him to go forth in his name. And when we do this, we are backed up by heaven. We are backed up by God. So Jesus's authority comes directly from the Father. Throughout his ministry, Jesus talks about this many different times, that he only does what he sees his Father doing. John 5, verse 26, it says, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Amen. Jesus's authority was also prophesied in the Old Testament. And in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, Daniel prophesies this. He says, verse 13, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Amen. So Jesus was sent from heaven to this earth by his Father. He was sent to be a baby. He was raised by his family here on this earth. He spent, 30 years learning the scriptures, being a carpenter here on this earth. And his ministry didn't start until he was around 30 years old. And there was something significant that marks the beginning of his ministry. Jesus was baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist, right? If you've heard that story, it says the heavens were opened, the heavens were ripped open, and a voice called out, and a dove descended down from heaven and rested on Jesus. And a voice said, "You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." So Jesus, in this moment, he was here on this earth, but I believe that he walked in the authority of heaven when that dove rested on him. The dove that represented the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, descended from heaven, rested on Jesus, and it's from that moment on that he was clothed with power, he was clothed with authority, and he walked in miracles, signs, and wonders here on the earth. That's where the authority of Jesus comes from. So Jesus receives that, he moves in miracles, and it's after that he is commissioned into his ministry, where we see the incredible miracles, signs, and wonders that Jesus did here on this earth. Jesus's triumph over death, his resurrection, was the ultimate demonstration of this sort of divine authority given to him by the Father. He demonstrates power over life and death. And after his resurrection, Jesus ascends to heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of his Father, Ephesians 1:20, where he's given ultimate authority and honor forever and ever. And he reigns over heaven and earth. This is the authority that we're talking about. We're talking about the King of Heaven, talking about the Son of God here. And so we as believers, we can operate in the same authority that Jesus carries, because it's been given to us by the Holy Spirit. See, when you receive Jesus into your heart and into your life, and you said yes to him to be your Lord and Savior, you received the power of the Holy Spirit. You received that same authority, that same power. So when Jesus says, "I'm commanding you to do this, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, doing all that I've commanded you to do," we are walking in that same power and same authority that Jesus walks in. Do you believe it? Do you receive it? Come on. So Jesus, he says to his disciples before he leaves, he says, "It is better that I go. Otherwise, the Spirit, the Comforter, won't come to you." You know, we talked about that a few weeks ago. It's better that I go. The Jesus that raised the dead, the Jesus that cast out the demons, the Jesus that healed the lepers and the paralyzed, that Jesus, the same Jesus that died but also rose from the dead, is saying, "It is better that I go." So that you can receive the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus is only one person who can be in one place at any given time. But his spirit dwells with all of us. Put your hand on your heart and say, "His Spirit is with me." And then say, "His Spirit dwells within me." See, the disciples, when they were on the earth with Jesus, they were walking in the authority that Jesus had because they were walking in his covering and his mantle. When you think about it, they were, Jesus gave them the power to cast out demons, and they were able to do those things because they were walking in the authority that Jesus had and was giving to them. But he was saying, "It's better that I go." But Luke chapter 24, Matthew 28 was the last verse in Matthew, but Luke actually shows us Jesus's last words here on this earth. He says, "Don't leave Jerusalem until you are clothed with power." His last words to his disciples are, "Don't leave until you're clothed with power." When Jesus was raised from the dead, he stayed on earth for 40 days. But the Spirit of the Holy Spirit wasn't poured out on the disciples in the upper room for another 10 days. So there was 10 days there where they were waiting. They were following the instruction of Jesus to wait here in Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power. Because it's the power of God It's the power of God moving in us and through us that reaches the world. It's the power of God in us that does the miraculous, the miracles and the signs and wonders. And that is the testament to the gospel, that the Spirit is moving in our midst. And so he instructed them to wait until you're clothed with power. What that shows me is we have to access the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit in us, because it's his power that clothes us with the ability to reach the world around us, to move in the miraculous. Amen? So let's break down this verse for a moment. Verse 19, this core command is go and make disciples of all the nations. Amen? I'm going to butcher some Greek here. You guys ready for it? We were just in Greece last week. We did a trip, Aaron and I, and I don't know how to pronounce it still. Sorry, guys. But here we go. First word, go. Porouthentesis. Okay? This word is often translated as go or having gone. And it implies that there's an action required. Okay? This is not a passive word. This is a verb. This is an action. It's got movement to it. And it also indicates that going is assumed as part of the process of making disciples. You can't make disciples without going, okay? It's also understood as you go, as you are going, showing us that disciple making is a continuous action that comes about from living our daily lives. It's intentional. It requires us to be proactive and not passive. That shows me that I have to say yes, that I have to be willing to go. I have to be willing to live my life in such a way that I make disciples as I'm going. The next phrase in that, make disciples, mathetou sate. All right? Which this means not just converting people, but engaging them in a process of learning and growing in their faith. It's not about, hey, I led you to Jesus. Have a nice life. I'll see you in heaven. Remember me, okay? Remember, I was the one you said yes with me, remember? All right, awesome. Glad you're not going to hell anymore. Great job. Good job. No, it's making disciples. It's engaging people in the spiritual walk. It's walking alongside the person, alongside the new believer, of helping them grow in their spiritual maturity in the Lord and grow into all that they have, that God has for them. What that shows me is it requires relationship. It requires sacrifice. It requires getting in the messy. It requires getting in the nitty-gritty and doing life with people, which often we don't want to do because we have very busy lives ourselves. And people are messy. And people are on a journey. And we're not always prepared for that journey. But this discipleship, it creates a place of growing in spiritual maturity and depth and walking in obedience. It's our obedience to the Lord, to his call, his mandate for us of the Great Commission. And it's also allowing that person to walk in obedience and help them grow in their obedience to the Lord. And the last phrase, all nations, panta ta ethne. It comes from the word ethnos or ethnes, which means all people. We like to think of this verse as like to every country, to the 200 countries that we have today. But what it means actually is all ethnic groups, all nations, all people, all tongues, all tribes, all ethnicities. You know, when colonization happened, they kind of just drew lines randomly on the map and divided ethnic groups and people groups. But there's actually hundreds and thousands of people groups here on this earth. And there's still probably about 100 people groups that still don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ that have never been reached. And what this shows me is that the scope of this mission is global. One of the upsides of globalization is that there are people from all over the world and all nations represented even right here in the triangle. Like you can step out your door and be reaching all people groups with the gospel. You know, we don't have to now get on a plane and fly all the way to Papua New Guinea to this, you know, like people group in the middle of the rainforest and meet people. Like, we can meet people right here where we are. And often the most unreached people are the Westerners. So there we go. So what does this mean for us? Go and make disciples of all nations. What does it mean for us? It means that when Jesus commissioned his disciples, he was commissioning us as well. And that he was commissioning them with his authority, which means when we go, we are walking in the authority of Jesus. We are walking in the backing of heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:20, it talks about how we are ambassadors of Christ here on this earth. If you know what an ambassador is, it's usually someone from another nation who comes to a different nation and carries the authority of their government back home here where they are. And so we in this earth, we are walking Christ followers, Christians, right? Here on this earth, carrying the authority of heaven with us. That means we have the authority to say, get up and walk. We have the authority to say, spirit of fear, leave in Jesus' name. Amen? I love that Jesus ends it with, and I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age. This promise to us should give us so much assurance, so much encouragement that we are never alone. We are never, ever alone in everything that we do. When we're preaching the gospel, when we're just laying, resting, whatever we're doing, we are never alone. That this mission is actually called the Great Commission, co-mission. It's a co-mission with God. It's a co-mission with the Holy Spirit to reach this world. Because me on my own, I cannot reach the world. I'm a very broken human being, as we all are in this room. But it's the Holy Spirit in me who fills me with power, who clothes me with power and authority, who gives me the grace to preach boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are never alone. Jesus, his authority gives us confidence and courage to us as believers. And we can trust that our yeses that we give to God are part of his beautiful sovereign plan here on this earth. And we just get to be a part of it. We just get to say yes, and he uses us. And many of us in this room, including me at times, are thinking, that's not for me. I'm too shy. I'm too scared. Has anyone thought this before? Like, that's for the radical evangelists, right? Those are for the ones, like, I'm more prophetic. Let's let the evangelists do it. But this was actually a mandate for all believers, not just for the evangelists, but for all believers, for all of us. So what does this look like practically for us? I want to take some time for me to share with you some stories and what this looks like. For me, the number one best thing that we can do is the personal evangelism. This is where we share our faith with others. We have conversations. We are intentional in sharing about our love for Jesus in everyday conversations. When I was at the Harvest School of Missions after I graduated high school, I met this amazing fiery preacher called Amy Lancaster, who actually, her ministry is called We Will Go Ministries. And her husband, David, they live in Jackson, Mississippi, and they have like an inner city ministry where they are just, God is moving powerfully there. And she was preaching at the International House of Prayer, IHOP, in Kansas City. And she had some interns who now were students at IHOP that had been with her for a couple years in Jackson, in the streets. And she went with them to their six-hour prayer slot or whatever in the prayer room. And they got home at 1 a.m. and they were staying in their apartment, and they saw like this guy walking out with like a hoodie, and there were these girls, and they were just feeling like, ah, like it's 1 a.m. and I'm scared. And so they ran into their apartment. They slammed the door. They locked like 3 deadbolts and all this stuff. And they turn around and they're like, oh, we're safe. And she looks at them and she's like this sassy Southern lady. And she goes, are y'all telling me you just spent 6 hours praying in the prayer room and you don't even know your neighbor's name? And when she shared that story, that hit me like a ton of bricks of conviction of, oh my goodness, we can be the best Christian. We can be in church, like come to our connect groups, do all of these programs, all of these things, be in our prayer, be in our whatever, and we don't even know the name of our neighbors. How are we going to reach the world if we don't get out of the four walls of the church? So many people think that they're Christians and they can't have friends with non-believers. Now, please keep a close circle of people who love God, who are cheering you on, who hold you accountable, who pray for you, who you can confide in, who you share values with. But also, it's okay to have friends outside of the church. And this hit Aaron and I a few years ago when we realized, wow, we don't have any friends outside of church. This is a problem. And so we were like asking God, how can we engage with our neighbors? How can we have other friends? And we realized we're at the soccer field 5 times a week. Let's get to know some of the people. So we're just friendly. We start talking to people. We start asking them about their lives. They start asking about our lives. So what do you guys do for work? We're pastors. Oh, wow. Cool. They used to be dropping F-bombs. Now they're not. All right. It works every time. But some of you might have seen our son, Jude. He comes to church wearing his jersey because he comes to first service worship. Then he goes to a soccer game with a friend or a family member. And then he comes back for second service preach in the kids class. And there, you know, I've had to go up and talk to all the coaches and people and say, I'm so sorry. Like, we can't really be at many of the games because they're on Sundays. My husband and I are pastors and usually one of us is preaching and, or I just came back from preaching and like their eyes are like, whoa, first of all, like you're a woman and you're preaching. This is blowing my whole theology. But we are not ashamed to show them who we are. And we have dinner with these people and they're our friends. And we're going out for, we have play dates with our kids and we're inviting them into our life and they're inviting us into their life. And I think we're literally shattering constructs that they created about what a pastor could be like or what they look like. And you can shatter constructs of what they think a Christian can be and you can actually be a fun hang and still love God. How cool is that? But share your testimony with people. The power of your testimony is so powerful. People cannot deny what God has done in your life. They may think, oh, wow, this person is crazy or I don't believe them or whatever, but come on. They can't take away the power of their testimony and it actually inspires them to believe that God can do that in their life. When we were in Italy 2 weeks ago, we were walking on the road at night after dinner and we see this guy coming towards us wearing like a Chicago Bulls jersey. And we're like, wow, this guy must be American. He's like, g'day, mates. No, he didn't say g'day, but he's like, hello, you guys want to come and have a drink with us? We're like, who is this guy? And he comes out and he's like, yeah, my partner and I were here on a trip. Sorry, I'm going to quit the accent. I can't go on the whole story with that, like, very bad impression of an Australian accent. Anyways, long story short, we end up sitting out on their patio and just hanging out with them. And they're telling us about their trip and how they've been in Europe. And they met this couple in Barcelona and they were like at the nightclubs and partying till like 7 a.m. And we're like, well, just to be upfront, that's not really going to be us, but we're happy to hang out with you for a little bit. And we're like, what is happening? But anyways, we ended up having a really nice time just talking with this couple and they're from Australia and, at the end, she was like, we're going to Rome next too. Like, we should get together in Rome. And I'm like, I mean, we're on our second honeymoon together, but sure, we could get together. So she's like, let me follow you on social media. I'm like, okay, here's my handle. We get back to the thing and Aaron's like, oh my gosh, they're going to see all our preaching videos. And we were like, at first, I'm not joking. The thought flashed before my eyes of they're going to be like, who is this person? But then we were like, they get to see all our preaching videos. Come on. And we were like, this is like, we're not going to be ashamed of who we are. We're going to have lunch with them. We're going to have dinner with them. We're going to get to be a witness to them. We're going to get to share with them what we do. And we felt like, come on, like, why not? You know, they're non-Christians, but they're amazing. They're fun. They're friendly. Jesus loves them. What an opportunity for us. And so we ended up getting dinner with them in Rome and just connecting. And I just, you know, I've been praying for them that God would just grip their heart and that, you know, maybe I'll post another video and tag her in it or something. Oh, come on. Awesome. But build relationships with people around you. Your trust and openness and vulnerability can provide deeper opportunities for you to have these conversations in your faith about what God is doing in your life. And be available. Make time for other people. Make time for people. Sometimes evangelism is more about just being present and being available to listen, to offer guidance, to offer to pray. Pray to God for opportunities, for him to open doors. Maybe it takes like months of you just building relationship and friendship with people. And then they come and they're like, I've actually had a horrible day or this has happened. And that's your moment to just come in, not in a manipulative way, but just to show them that the Holy Spirit wants to come. He wants to heal that moment. He wants to bring comfort for you to have an opportunity to pray for them. I love my father-in-law, Lloyd. Give us a wave, Lloyd. This is Aaron's dad, Lloyd. And we think that he's an evangelist because he lives and breathes the gospel. Like, he is an evangelist through and through. And it's always been as he's going. Like, he makes the most fun connections with people ever. He, you know, as he's out working throughout the day with clients, they'll invite him to have lunch or swim in their pool or ride their horses like this week or whatever. And it's all because he's just like so friendly, so open. And often these people, he ends up, God provides an opportunity for him to share the gospel, for him to pray for them, for him to invite them to church. He's always texting us about, he met so-and-so and, you know, they're looking for a church or they want to find a church or whatever. And there's this funny story. Aaron and I were getting married and Lloyd, it's okay, Lloyd, we forgive you, but he was late to our rehearsal by a couple hours. And we were like, where is Lloyd? And we couldn't find him. He comes and he's like, oh my gosh, you guys, I just met this homeless man outside of Costco and I ended up leading him to the Lord. And isn't that awesome? And we're like, oh, we can't be mad at that. Like, that's so good of a story. I want to be so mad, but I can't because this guy is now in, you know, a Christian. Great. But I love it. And I love his faith and his boldness. And he's always encouraged us. Like, he'll go and meet, he knew like all of our neighbors in our neighborhood before us. So I love it. But make room in your life for discipleship relationships where you are having one-on-one relationship and discipleship with someone, whether that's someone pouring into you or you're pouring into someone else. Aaron and I, again, we were just on a walk the other night in our neighborhood. We ended up chatting to one of our neighbors who's going through a divorce right now and a really hard time. And he had a Bible in his hand and we said, oh, awesome. Were you just at like a Bible study? He's like, oh, I was just actually mentoring this new Christian who just came to the faith. And there's nothing like someone who's just come to know the Lord. And then he starts telling us about our other neighbors. And he's like, you know, so-and-so down the road, like they're so close, man. They're so close. And I'm just sharing the gospel with them. And we're like, come on. And then it, you know, we end up praying over him too, for him and his wife and his marriage. And it's those moments of take the time, like find someone, pour into them. Come on, this gospel is not meant to be like hidden under a basket. Raise your hand if God changed your life forever. Raise your hand if you were set free and changed forever. Now imagine this is the greatest gift you've ever received and you keep it all to yourself. Doesn't someone else deserve the opportunity to have that moment in their life where God changed your life? Raise your hand if you can remember the person that led you to the Lord or discipled and mentored you. Come on. Come on. Let's be those people in the world. Let's be those people. Guys, participate or join in a connect group. Be part of a small group where people are pouring into you, where you can have more in-depth discussion, where you are being made into a disciple, where you're being discipled. Live out Jesus's teachings. I love what Justin was preaching last week about how we represent Christ here on this earth. And we can either represent him well or we can misrepresent him. Let's represent Jesus well to the world around us. Let's put down the keyboard worrying, warrior, not worrying like I'm scared, but like warrior, like the keyboard Facebook warriors who sit behind their screens and say horrendous things. Let's set that down. Let's be people of peace. Let's be people who are filled with the gifts of the Spirit, who walk in love, who walk in joy, who walk in gentleness and self-control and faithfulness and kindness and all of the fruits of the Spirit. Spend time in daily prayer, reading our Bibles, worshiping, knowing the Word of God, and letting Jesus transform us. Let Him transform us into His image. The more we spend time with someone, the more we start talking like them and looking like them. I'm not looking a lot like Aaron these days, but it's okay. I'm just kidding. Sorry, that was a ball joke, but it's okay. Everyone's like, oh, only half the room laughed. Womp womp. All right, it's okay. Don't dishonor your husband from the microphone. All right, noted. Engage in global missions, guys, in the global mission, that there are amazing mission things happening, right here in this city and what God is doing in this city, also to the world around us. I want to say welcome back to Izzy Smith, who is one of our amazing missionaries right here at the front that we've been praying for, supporting. People in this community have been supporting and praying for her financially as well. She was a missionary for the last 2 years in Mexico, and she's back, and we're so glad that she's here. But find missionaries. If you don't know any missionaries and you wanna support someone, come and talk to one of us. As pastors, we have a list of people that that we are supporting. Next month, we're having Max Thomas, who him and his wife Stephanie are missionaries in northern Iraq. He's going to be speaking. He was incredible the last time he came. But just find out what God is doing among the world. Regularly pray, contribute financially to people. Go on a missions trip. We are working with Santa Warren, who's Catch the Fire World's missions director, to put together a missions trip for us as a church to go on next year together. Our youth are going to the Dominican Republic in like a week and a half. But just engage in what God is doing around the world. And then another amazing tool that we've been given is social media. We can post our lives and we can post about what God's doing. Maybe that's even like sharing a Bible verse that's inspiring you, or, you know, posting about the service or whatever it is, and inviting people to come, or sharing your testimony. We can engage with people even through social media, which I love, and be just a positive presence on the internet, not a negative voice. So what is required of us to fulfill the Great Commission? Well, it requires action and intentionality from us, to be willing to engage in those conversations, to be willing to walk with other people who may believe different things than us, to speak to the server who's serving us at the restaurant, who's complaining about neck pain, and have boldness to ask her, hey, I've noticed your neck looks like it's bothering you. What's going on? And then opening up a door for maybe you to even pray for them. But we need faith and boldness and courage to fulfill this commandment and this mandate. So let's pray for the Holy Spirit to clothe us in power and might, to fill us with boldness and faith, and to see our neighbors and our teachers and our coworkers and fellow students saved. Because if they don't receive Jesus in this life, they're going to hell in the next life. And often we don't like to think about that, and we don't like to have that thought, but it's true. Like, this is our one moment, our one opportunity in this life to preach the gospel. And I've said to God, I don't want to regret never having shared that. There are many moments that have come to me and I've let pass by, and I walk away feeling like, man, I should have done that. I should have spoken. And I'm like, Lord, next time, help me to have the boldness, help me to have the courage. And I'm growing in it, I'm practicing in it. It takes practice. We're not going to get it right every time. But what hinders us? Fear hinders us. Fear of rejection. Fear of what other people think about us. Fear of being like the weirdo. Fear of losing friends. But we want to be people of faith, not fear, right? So I want to invite you to stand for a moment. I'm going to close together in prayer, but I want us to just take a moment and ask the person next to you, can I put my hand on your shoulder? And we are going to take a moment and we're going to pray and ask that God would fill the person beside us with power, with faith, with courage, and with boldness to preach the gospel. to reach our friends. So why don't you just do that for a moment? Just say, Holy Spirit, fill my friend up with boldness. Fill them with faith, Lord. Increase their faith. God, would you give them opportunities and open doors to preach the gospel to the people around them? God, give us strategies in how to reach our coworkers, Lord. Give us strategies in what to say and the words to say. Now, I want us to take a moment and just repent to the Lord for any way we've let fear rule our lives, where we've let fear stop us from being bold witnesses. So just take a moment, just say, Lord, I'm so sorry for any way that I've let fear creep in, where I've lived in a place of lack and I haven't lived in a place of faith, Lord. Would you forgive me and wash me clean? God, where I've let apathy creep in, where I've thought someone else will do it, Lord, or it's not for me, would you forgive me, God, today? And in that place where there was fear, Lord, would you fill me with faith? Would you fill me with boldness? Just ask God, say, fill me with boldness. Fill me with faith, God. Give me a heart for my neighbors, God. Burden my heart for this city, Lord. Burden my heart for this world. That there's a world that needs the gospel of Jesus, the hope of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I want to be part of that story. I want to be part of this harvest, Lord, this soul harvest. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you so much for joining us. There are so many opportunities to grow, connect, and be encouraged. To learn more, visit ctfraleigh.com and follow us on social media. Thank you so much for being part of the family. We are so thankful for you.